You are listening to the Delay and Pray podcast, episode number 71.
Welcome to the Delay and Pray podcast, where certified Catholic and weight loss coach Beth Bubick teaches you how to permanently lose weight through spiritual fasting. Get ready to gain faith and lose weight through a joyful transformation of both body and soul. Now, your host, Beth, the Catholic Fasting Coach.
Welcome back. Today's podcast is all about the life-changing effects of spiritual fasting in both body and soul. And spiritual fasting has absolutely changed my life. You know that. It's changed my life so much for the better. And I have whittled all the advantages into five little categories to pass on to you today. So, intermittent fasting is all the rage today, as you know, but it is not new. We've just divorced it from God. Intermittent fasting paired with prayer and almsgiving, that's the thing that we want to do. And this is an ancient practice that has been around for thousands of years. Jesus intermittently fasted. Mary fasted, the Jewish people before Jesus fasted, and they all had particular fasting days and were perfectly capable of going long periods of time without food. There are so many reasons for this. They ate sparingly, the food was basic and healthy, and there was not an abundance of it. They also did not live lives of comfort like we do, but their lives were lives of very hard work, and they fasted out of a religious aspect, so there was meaning to it. There was obedience as well behind the intention. And these are things that are way beyond their body size or their health, the things that we think of today. Fasting was literally expected in most religious cultures in the past, and it still is today. The secular culture, though, of today, they call it intermittent fasting, but paired with a meaningful spiritual purpose, we call it spiritual fasting, or even Catholic fasting now. It's one of the most important regimens that you can practice on a daily basis for optimum health in both body and soul. But most people don't do it. Why? Seriously, because of lack of knowledge, that's for sure. And they think it requires being wildly hungry and withstanding huge amounts of discomfort. This is why some people dread Lent, which is absolutely nonsense. Absolutely, because spiritual fasting has so many benefits for us in both body and soul. So this whole notion of wildly hungry and withstanding huge amounts of discomfort, it is totally untrue. And as scripture says from Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. So I ask you, my friends, do you want to reject the knowledge? Or do you want to take some initiative and go out there and try to figure out a few things about spiritual fasting? I think it would be in your best interest to do so. Spiritual fasting is amazing for you. And when done correctly, it requires being only mildly hungry and withstanding only mild discomfort once in a while. Now, this is going to result in huge benefits for you and those that you love. But again, there is some discomfort involved. Otherwise, why would we be suffering redemptively? Why would we be offering something to God if there wasn't a little bit of discomfort involved? It's going to come your way, my friends, discomfort I'm talking about. So might as well offer it up to God. So with the delay and pray method, we concentrate on metabolic flexibility using a very effective rhythm of the week called the eat, fast, feast cycle. Now, this includes intermittent fasting a little bit every day. And this unique intermittent fasting, this unique schedule called Dining In with Jesus that I've designed, this is actually tailored to one's own bodily needs and then fasting longer and more selectively on Wednesdays and Fridays. Then after the weekly fast, we begin celebrating the gift of the Eucharist on Sundays and even Saturday nights with feasting in honor of the Lord in community. Now, it's a beautiful and fruitful way of following this ancient art of intermittent fasting, and there are amazing benefits involved. Because our bodies are not designed to graze all day on food, especially food that is addictive and of poor nutrition, such as processed food, sugar, white flour, and alcohol. Our bodies were created to go certain periods of time without food altogether, which we call a fasting window, and then eat during a period of time in meals that contain healthy, nutritious food created by God. This is our unique design from a biological and neurological point of view. And this is not hard. Everyone can go 12 hours without food. Think of 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. Can you do that while offering up this time without food or alcohol to pray for your kids or your husband's conversion? To pray your family back to Mass? I think you can. Your body can do this. And I would say that it's probably your mind that may be giving you the problem. And we're going to talk more on that later. Now, from a spiritual viewpoint, our souls were not designed to constantly graze on worldly food either. This type of activity creates gluttony and sloth within our lives that draws us away from God and not towards Him in unity. I teach this in my course. It's absolutely fascinating how the body and soul work together within us because we are body and soul composites. So remember, we are body, soul, composites, and the body and soul work together. Grazing all day on sugary or processed food leads to vice. Take in that information and think and pray on it a while. Don't dismiss it as a lack of knowledge. Figure out how it pertains to you. God has something in there for you. Fasting spiritually has always been expected by the Catholic Church on Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, and before consuming the Eucharist. Did you remember that part? Everybody knows about Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, but what about the time set aside to empty our bodies, empty our souls for the reception of the Eucharist, the Blessed Lord, under the auspice of bread and wine? These aren't just things we should do out of obedience, although that's a good start, but these fasting times could be an amazing reverent action in body and soul to worship God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. They could be all-in moments of love offered to the Father in gratitude for the value of your life because your life is so very valuable. He loves you so much. By fasting before the Eucharist, it's like saying, I love you this much back, Lord, so much that I'm planning my very life around you in these small moments. This supernatural thinking changes the game immensely. There is a spiritual dimension to being empty in body before receiving Jesus in the Eucharist that we as Catholics, I think, are missing today. St. Augustine affirms that the Holy Eucharist must always be received by people who are fasting out of love and devotion to our Lord, but obedience is always a good start. But in everyone's defense, this is just really not talked about much. This knowledge makes so much sense that as we receive the actual body and blood of Christ, that we should empty ourselves of all lesser food. Of course we should, because we're receiving the one true nourishment for our body and soul. We are taking His very heartbeat within our own bodies every time we consume Him in the Eucharist. This is why we fast, for love and worship of Him. Then He gives us all our desires, my friends. It's the most secure holy gamble you'll ever make. Since we're talking about knowledge, here are the facts so that you know about fasting before communion. Current canon law 919 requires a one-hour fast before receiving communion. Quote, one who is to receive the Most Holy Eucharist is to abstain from any food or drink, with the exception only of water and medicine, for at least the period of 1 hour before Holy Communion. Unquote. The Eucharistic fast was changed by Pope Pius XII from a complete fast after midnight to a fast of 3 hours in 1957. Then Pope Paul VI further reduced the requirement to 1 hour in 1964. These changes were intended to encourage Catholics to receive communion more frequently. And that's understandable, but unfortunately, they may have caused a lack of fasting altogether and a lack of reverence too. This affects the happiness of our lives. We have to fast. Otherwise, we are less happy without fasting. It's a fact. We really don't talk about it much anymore, which is a shame because it's so good for us all the way around. Body, soul, community, family, everything. It just makes us better people. So now you know there is no lack of knowledge here. Embrace that 1 hour fast before communion and then extend to 3 when you can, and then move it on out to 12 hours when you feel called. Together, we can change the trajectory of the immoral world just by doing this before receiving the Eucharist. Amen. How about you? Now, I was thinking about this. Just watch those 7 a.m. masses fill up with all the people. Because guess what? No coffee before mass. So we got to get there early. That's so funny. Staying on the subject of the Eucharist and fasting, it is not only good for our souls, but also for our bodies, because we know what is good for the soul is good for the body and vice versa. It's as if fasting is absolutely essential to our whole time here on earth as part of our journey, because our journey is for preparing our bodies to empty out all the errant desires, which are those false comforts like food and alcohol that we turn to instead of Jesus, the real true presence that could reside as a bright light within, easing the anxiety we experience in our entire life every day if we would only make room for God who actually created us. Who knew that 1 hour, 3 hours, or 12-hour fast could do all that? But I think it can. Try it out. God is very generous, but he also demands justice. And you will be judged on the fasts because now you know. I'd like to say sorry, not sorry, but that's not very nice, is it? But now you know. So you can see that the Catholic Church has been asking us all along to do something pretty amazing for both body and soul, even before the science of intermittent fasting and ketosis and metabolic flexibility and all the things proved out the benefits for our bodies and health. So I promised you 5 most amazing benefits of combining intermittent fasting with a spiritual purpose called spiritual fasting. And after listening to these benefits, you'll never want to just do intermittent fasting again. Why would you? Because your very life and your happiness is at stake here. Okay, so let's start with 1. Fasting activates autophagy and stimulates growth hormone. This is a scientific fact. These 2 things enhance your very life. They decrease inflammation in your body, increase energy, and help you feel great. Autophagy is basically the body's mechanism of ridding itself of all the old cells and damaged mitochondria. This is like the cell machinery within us, like organelles and proteins and cell membranes and all the things that need to be swept away and regenerated on a regular basis for us to stay healthy. Periods of fasting, especially over 12 hours, so 12, 14, 16, 18, these fasting times literally renew your body, restore your energy, and help you regulate an orderly process to degrade, recycle, and restore cellular components within. After the autophagy happens, then, fasting actually stimulates the growth hormone that I was talking about, which tells our body to start producing new cells and parts necessary for a bitter renovation within. This is great stuff. These 2 mechanisms go together, getting rid of the old furniture, so to speak, before bringing in the new modern stuff that looks and feels so good. This is a great perk, my friends. So we could say that fasting has been shown to actually reverse the aging process in many adults. And I would tell you, this is an amazing benefit. Who doesn't want to get younger? So now let's look at what's happening spiritually. Autophagy working in our bodies is also working in our souls. And I heard this from a podcast a while back, and I found it to be amazing. This was from a podcast called Uniquely Mary. And I just had never thought about it this way before. So I love it. It helps repair the damage of sin through the redemptive suffering of hunger. When we go to confession, we are forgiven, but we are given a penance to help repair the damage of that sin. Yes, yes, of course. Well, fasting can help repair that damage for you and for others by just being a little intentionally hungry for a period of time. I thought that was phenomenal. When the Blessed Mother appeared at Fatima, Lourdes, and so many apparition sites, she asked the children to fast to save souls of poor sinners and for the reparation of sins for the whole world. Well, she's asking this of us too. We can help ourselves and others with autophagy of sin right in our own bodies and souls by fasting for the Blessed Mother's intentions to clean up the damage that sin leaves behind. Oh my goodness, a little intentional hunger goes a long way for body and soul. And it would naturally follow that if we are garnering more energy for our bodies, it makes sense that we will have more zeal for the glory of God. It's like that growth hormone wakes up our desire and zeal for God and His divine will. We end up partaking in the sacrament so much more, praying more, wearing more sacramentals, attending church activities, having more devotions, anything to draw us closer to the Lord. This is a natural outcome of enhanced energy and spiritual fasting. We feel so good that we glorify God for that feeling. Fasting helps our soul and our loved ones stay out of lukewarmness, which we know is not good. This helps our thinking shift to the supernatural, to the things that could be, away from the things that we can just see and that's it. Because there's supernatural things going on all the time. We have to shift our thoughts over to heaven. We have more energy to journal and take a look into our minds, praying and working for the renewal of our thoughts and feelings, as stated in Romans 12:2. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." That's beautiful. All right, number two. Fasting helps regulate the insulin in our bloodstream and decrease insulin resistance, which is the body's natural tendency to burn sugar for fuel instead of fat and ketones. I've talked about this scenario on many other podcasts concerning metabolic flexibility and how fasting helps us stay in ketosis by delaying sugar, flour, and alcohol within our eating windows during the week, which allows our bodies to burn fat and ketones as the most efficient fuel for our brains and bodies. And then we switch back over to some sugar burning a bit on the weekends and then return again to ketosis during the week. Okay, so this pattern that I've discovered that actually is very popular right now, this flexible pattern is called metabolic flexibility, and it's healthy and it's Catholic. It takes a minute to learn, but when mastered over time, it becomes a very healthy state for our bodies for so many reasons, mainly weight loss, sharper thinking, and overall good health. It also helps us to moderate and eat only to enough, which is what we want to do. We don't want to overfuel our bodies. Okay, so as we learn to only eat to enough, then we learn how to also feast to enough. So metabolic flexibility includes both fasting and feasting. This means bye-bye binging. We don't want to starve ourselves and then binge. That is not where we're going here. It is about sitting in the place of moderation. And this is what we were always meant to do. This is our Catholic lifestyle. So spiritually, regulating our insulin levels with longer fasting windows and filling our eating windows with healthy meals turns our minds and hearts naturally to God. In this state, we look for spiritual food to become edified. I'm talking the Eucharist, scripture, the living word, journaling, prayer, movement, exercise, water, connection to others. This is the hunger offered to God. And when we do this, we open up a whole new world when we start lowering our insulin levels in our bloodstream due to the constant influx of glucose by eating all day or overeating or eating food that's filled with flour and sugar and all those things that just keep us over hungry all the time. And let's be honest, the Eucharist is the most effective fuel for the soul and probably the body too. There is no more significant superfood than the body of Jesus Christ. I heard one Catholic say that when you are in a fasting disposition, basically in an empty state, you allow your soul to absorb all the grace that God has for you within the Eucharist at every Mass. Can you imagine? Oh, so the next time you take the Eucharist, if you're really hungry, think of all the grace that you are absorbing from the living God within you. So you become transformed in mind and heart so much more quickly, so much more thoroughly. How amazing that the transformation is happening literally from the inside out. This is what flips dieting on its head. We want to go from the inside out. So to put it into something we can remember, it goes like this. Insulin goes down, grace goes up. God is so generous. Okay, going on to number three. Spiritual fasting gives us knowledge. It creates unbelievable brain power. The brain works better when we fast because it's getting lots of nutritious fuel to function properly. It likes ketones. The best fuel is ketones and fat that allows for the clearest and most profound thinking. But when sugar is around, when sugar burning is possible, the brain is always going to go for the sugar before it goes to the ketones and the fat. We know that. We know that. I've already gone over in prior podcasts how the state of ketosis produces ketones, the whole genesis and how it works, and that this is the best fuel for us. So fueling our intelligence is important. And where does our intelligence come from? But our intellect. According to the church, and specifically St. Thomas Aquinas, we need to fuel our possible intellect with as much grace and truthful information as possible. Because sin darkens the intellect. Untruth darkens the intellect and literally makes us stupid, as Father Chad Ripperger says in one of his YouTube videos. I love it. Spiritual fasting fights this darkening in both body and soul. There is an intimate connection between our brain and soul that we must consider. When they are both running on high octane fuel from fasting, quality food, nutrition, sacraments, scripture, all these things, we are at our best in both body and soul. We can receive more wisdom and definitely not suffer from lack of knowledge in this state. Okay, number four, spiritual fasting elevates our mood and boosts immunity. This is because it increases our spiritual trust and love of Jesus, which decreases anxiety and depression. And who doesn't want that? Fasting also boosts immunity by turning on certain genes that fight disease. This is scientific. Some studies today are even suggesting that it helps with cancer. Neurochemically, fasting increases certain levels of neurotransmitters, especially dopamine, which elevates your happiness and confidence while reducing your anxiety. This is great news if you are suffering from anxiety, especially if that stress is caused by weight gain or lethargy. It is something to look into. On a spiritual level, fasting brings peace because it's a peaceful way to fight wars, disease, pandemics, natural disasters, all kinds of things. Sister Emmanuel from Medjugorje even says that you can bring your family back to Mass and into conversion through fasting. Here's what else she says. Fasting and prayer is demanding due to hunger and discomfort, but the fruits are extraordinary. She says that fasting defeats Satan, obtains physical, spiritual, and inner healings, delivers souls from purgatory, especially loved ones and priests that may be there. We must be praying for our priests, especially in purgatory. She says that fasting for these souls is a true act of charity because suffering in purgatory is more challenging than any pain on earth. Fasting helps us discern decisions and vocations, not just for younger people, but for anyone wanting to find out their role or mission in the world for Jesus and a particular decision here on earth that we are trying to figure out. She says that fasting creates a special place in the soul and heart for the Holy Spirit that is more inspired and led by the Holy Spirit than others who do not fast. And lastly, she says that fasting helps you understand God's plan for your life. All of these things are absolutely amazing. The messages from Our Lady during apparitions include prayer and fasting. They always do. She invites us to fast on Wednesdays and Fridays, especially on bread and water if we can. But even if you're just going to give up meat or give up one meal, you have to start slowly. Some of us can't just go right on to bread and water. So fasting off of anything, okay, any kind of food and alcohol is great. Because she says that only through prayer and fasting can we stop wars. And this is beginning in our own selves. The war within ourselves, the war within our families, and then the war in our community, the war in our nation, the war in our world. She says it can help prevent wars and bring unity. She says it can suspend natural disasters, catastrophes, tornadoes, pandemics, hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, all these things. This is what fasting can do. This is powerful. So why don't we do it? Because fasting is more demanding than time or money. Because you have to give your body your actual flesh. You also have to change habits of meals. You have to prepare them. You have to think ahead. And you have to offer all of this to God. And we're not used to doing this, but we could get used to it. This is not easy, but it's so worth it. So lastly, let me give you number five. Fasting and prayer has an exorcistic power. It casts out evil. Let that sink in. You have the power, you and I, to cast out evil from your life and the lives of those you love. It says in Mark 9:29, he said to them, "This kind can only come out by prayer and fasting." Scripture is the living word of God. It is truth. Never fast again without prayer. This is a spiritual intention and purpose directed to God and done to save souls. Don't just leave this type of action also for Lent. Consider making spiritual fasting a lifestyle of love for others. Let's face it, we are an overweight nation in both body and soul. Our bodies are carrying more weight than necessary, and our souls are weighted down by the weight of the world. Spiritual fasting alleviates both these problems. Fasting done correctly is healthy for those who can do it. St. Catherine of Siena went 40 days just living off the Eucharist. It can be done. Jesus did this himself when he went out into the desert for 40 days to fast for the whole world. He knew of all the benefits, and many that are not even mentioned here, that it would be optimal for both his body and his soul, and for ours too. When he was there, he was healing his own body, but he was also healing ours as well. So when we fast, we connect into that very fast in the desert of Jesus Christ. We are healing each other when we fast in community. I mean, that is mind-blowing information. So to conclude, in essence, we are in this physical world, but not of the world. We belong to God. We are to first seek out his kingdom right here, right now. And this is something that we can't always see. But God has designed the world in a way where the physical world mirrors the spiritual world of the kingdom. If we just take the time to put them side by side in body and soul, we will find the answers and we will not have lack of knowledge. I hope you consider adding spiritual fasting to your life, not just for Lent or for a time, but as a lifestyle. It will make your life happier than you have ever been, and you'll be helping your family and friends and the whole world with your efforts. I am with you. Jesus is with you. And I'm telling you, you can be thin in body and soul, you can be rich in mercy, and you can be happy in the kingdom. This is all available to you right now if you just dip your toes into this amazing world of spiritual fasting and what I call delay and pray. God bless you, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you did, please subscribe and even leave a 5-star review if you wouldn't mind, so that others will hear the great message of spiritual fasting, get healthy, lose weight, and get back to the sacraments this year. Have a great week, my friends, and I will talk to you next week. May God bless you and keep you always. If you are interested in learning more about spiritual fasting and permanent weight loss, then come join my course, Delay and Pray, a guided course for weight loss through spiritual fasting. You won't go through it alone either. I will be there to coach you every step of the way. This is a group coaching program where you are part of an amazing community of like-minded Catholics who have the same goal as you, to bring about miracles while losing that weight permanently through spiritual fasting. Your purchase includes an online course detailing what spiritual fasting is, how to do it, and all the tools you need to get you the results you're longing for. Head over to my website right now at thecatholicfastingcoach.com and get the details on how to join. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and LinkedIn to always get the latest daily information to help you keep fasting, my friends. Can't wait to see you in there. May God bless you and keep you always.